Let me certainly say I always considered it a great honor and a privilege to stand before you today and try to proclaim the Word of God. I'm glad that the Word of God is true, it's precise. God knows exactly what we need when we need it. Preaching is not about studying up a message that you think people want to hear or trying to study up a message that you think the church needs to hear. Somewhere in the week, God has to speak and give us direction, and I'm glad that God is able, God is willing to do that. You know, here in my heart, God say to the church, to you within my hearing this morning, just press on. I know that so many of us are going through difficult times, and I know that we as individuals and we as a church, because the church is made up of individuals that are coalesced together through the blood of Christ and our faith in Christ and the love of God. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. And when one of us is suffering, we're all suffering because we have the same heartbeat that is in us. But all this morning, can't you just hear the Spirit of the Lord say to the church, press on. Now, I know it's hard right now, and I know it may be difficult right now, and I know that maybe it's hard to find the energy or the strength, but press on. I know it's not convenient, and I know that we have adversaries, and I know that there are those that would stifle us and desire to hush the voice of the church, but I say again, press on. I know you may not feel like it, and I know that you may be dealing with some issues, and I know that you may be depressed, and I know that you may be anxious, but press on. I know that it may not look like it, and I know that you may not feel like it, but oh, in the day and the hour and right now, the Spirit of God is saying to the church, press on. It'll be worth it after all. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians and the third chapter. This is the church that the Apostle Paul longed for, that he loved. I'm going to read from the third chapter, but I'm going to read this verse, one of the fourth chapter, and I know I'm kind of going backwards. He says, Therefore, my brethren, my dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Before that, though, he said in chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings. He said the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I've already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after if that which I apprehended, that for which cause I am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count myself not that apprehend it. In other words, he said, I ain't got there yet. I'm just pressing toward it. But he said, this one thing I've learned to do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I reach forward unto those things which are before. Now here's a thought that God has laid upon my heart. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. How thankful we are, God, for the opportunity to stand today and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Father, I'm so thankful that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And though, God, my physical body is tired, and though, Lord, my mind is stressed, God, there is that is greater that is within me. So, God, I pray, Lord, minister to your people through your spirit. God, I realized a long time ago that it's not about me and it's not of me, but we're just a little vessel. God, I pray for that one that feels like that. All hope is almost gone. God, I pray for that one that is struggling. I pray for that one, God, that feels cast aside and forgotten about. God, I pray, Lord, for that one that's just about to give up and sit down. God, I pray for that one that, Lord, is going through depression and anxiety and trouble. God, I pray this morning, Lord, speak as only you can, not just to us, but speak to our situation that we find ourselves in, and give us grace for the hour, for we need thy grace, God, and great is thy grace and mercy today. We love you and praise you. Now, God, speak, we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I love the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest of all apostles. And so often you'll find in his writings, you'll find it here. You'll find it if you believe he wrote the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter. There is maybe this thought that he's trying to get to us, that living our lives for Christ is like running a race. And it's not a sprint, but it is a marathon. It is something that we are pressing toward. Sometimes to press toward something means that you've got to press through some things. You know, I thought about a runner, and you know, in the springtime, I do a pretty good job of trying to stay in shape. I like to go out and I like to run. We got a little old elliptical machine. I know some of you are looking at me like, really? You really do that? You know, I know it's hard to tell by looking, but I have in the past. And many of you try to stay healthy, and you know, we want our hearts to work good, and we try to exercise a little bit. And you know what? In order for that exercise to do us any good, we've got to press to the point that it causes us a little pain. I don't like huffing and puffing and trying to find my next breath, but what it does, it expounds my boundaries, so the next time that I go out and exercise and run, I can go just a little bit farther. And here we find ourselves, the analogy is running a race to living our lives. And so often we find ourselves in situations where we're gasping for air. Has anybody ever felt overwhelmed by the things that you're going through? Has anybody over or felt like that they were going to be overtaken by some of the trials that you were going through? But I want you to know, these trials are a necessary part of life. And what they do, they expound the borders and the boundaries of our heart. And some of the stuff that we go through is so that we can help somebody else later down the road, because we've been through it and now they're going through it. Listen, I don't want to hear from somebody who's never been there. I don't want to hear from somebody who's not authentic and original and really who hadn't been where I'm at. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you find yourself anxious for the hour, this morning, if you find yourself sometimes battling just to feel like you're staying afloat, I've been there. I can tell you, I know what that's like. Understand this, though, brothers and sisters. This is a race, and there is a finish line. I don't know how you feel about it this morning. Every now and again, my eyes see past what this world has to offer, and I see what awaits us in the finish line. Now, listen, I've never seen heaven. I can't tell you how big it is, how beautiful it is. Listen, I've never been there, but I'm going to tell you this. I believe it exists, and every now and again I get a sense that I'm closer to it than I was a few days before, and it gives me the desire to finish strong. There is a prize for those of us that finish in faith. So, press on. When it hurts, press on. And, you know, he talks about the fellowship of suffering. There is a fellowship that comes from suffering one another that you can't find anywhere else. There is there's a family bond in the church that you can't have lest you suffer together. And here's why I don't want anything to do with the prosperity movement. See, it promises that everything good is going to happen. It tells you that every day is going to be sunshine, that you won't have any storms or trials, that you won't lose somebody to cancer, or you won't lose somebody you love in a car wreck. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Nay, it's the contrary. All of us are going to go through stuff. All of us are going to have trials that we have to overcome. But I want you to know this. There's a Savior that loves us, that died for us. There's a hope that goes beyond the pain that I'm feeling. There's a hope that goes beyond the pain that you're feeling right now. There's a hope that goes beyond the hurt that you're feeling right now. But you gotta press on through it. My precious wife, we went to the hospital and she was very, very pregnant. We'll say it like that with Miss Kayla, our first child. And, you know, I felt pretty tough. I wasn't the one pregnant. It's easy to feel that way, right? David, you be careful with this one now, okay, bro? And so we go in and, you know, she had a tough time. She stayed in labor for hours, 20-something hours, 28 hours. Is that something like that, honey? Just, I watched her suffer. And Lord, when they pulled that needle out and they give her that spinal block, I like to pass out. They're going to have to minister to me. She's doing all right. I'm the one that's having the trouble over here. But I watched her suffer. She twisted and turned, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know how her body was able to turn the way she did with all the hurt. And then I had a kidney stone, and I know just a little bit about that. But I watched her in that labor process. And you ladies who've given birth, you know exactly what that's like, the pain that you go through and the hurt that you go through. And, you know, I'm over there, like, the old football coach comes out, you know, and I'm like, push, baby, push, you know. And she's like, finally she just looked at me and said, shut up, this ain't a football game. And so I realized right quick that there is a fellowship of suffering. She wasn't the only one that was suffering. But she went through that suffering and she went through that pain. Kayla was born. And when Kayla was born, that girl didn't even cry. And I mean, she looked up and big old eyes looking around like, here I am, world, here I am. And when we got to hold her and put her in her arms, I'm sure, Mama, you would say this, and Mamas, you would say this, that child that you're holding, Christine, he was worth the pain. He was worth the hurt. He was worth the pushing and all that stuff. And Jen, you can say that they're worth all the hurt and the pain that you had to go through. And I'm going to tell you this, church, we can't have birth without a little bit of suffering. And listen, when we get to that place where we suffer together, if we suffer together, the Bible said we shall reign together. And when you suffer together, you begin to find out who your friends are. When you suffer together, you find out who you can count on. When you suffer together, you know who's praying for you. When you suffer together, you know who's strength for you. And thank God there's a bond and a fellowship that comes no other way but by when we suffer together. That's not a popular message. There's not a whole lot of hope in that unless you've ever suffered and needed a church to be there for you. And when you're the one that's suffering and you're the one that's in need and the church is praying for you and they're seeing about you and they're concerned about you, you realize that coalesce and draws people together. There is a bond that comes through that kind of suffering. But sometimes, and this is easy for me to say, I hadn't suffered like some of you have. But sometimes you just gotta press on. I thought about Joseph, and remember, he was his father's favorite. Made him a beautiful coat of colors, and his brothers were full of envy and strife, and they cast him down into a pit. And remember, the Egyptians are people coming by, going to the Amalekites, going to the Egyptian capital, and they sold their own brother into slavery. He went from the pit to being really a bond servant in Egypt, and he could have given up. He could have quit on God. He could have said, you know what, God, I've trusted you, and I found myself in a pit, and now here I am in another place, and I am a prisoner, and I am a servant. But no, he pressed on, and before long, God began to show him some favor. The hand of God was upon him, and it wouldn't be long before he would become the right-hand man of the king. And just so as it happens, not by chance or by circumstance, but by the will of God, not so many years later, his brothers and his father would be starving to death back in the homeland and make their way to Egypt to try to get a little corn. Here is this man that he could have held on to the bitterness. He could have held on to the strife. He could have been angry and full of hatred toward his own family because they did him wrong. But here we see in the story of Joseph, he shows him mercy and goodness and favor. And listen, God used his situation to save his own family. And we never know what God is doing in the midst of our suffering. Boy, I couldn't help but think about so many of the others that have suffered and that God's hand has brought them through. And I'm not going to preach them all. And you can say, thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm glad. But I'll think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the old fiery furnace, and how they stood fast. And there was a time of suffering for them, but God delivered them. Daniel in the lion's den. We can go on and on. The children of Israel, they suffered through the wilderness. But don't you know, whenever Joshua led them across the river, he looked over at Caleb as they gathered the stones out of the river and said, Caleb, aren't you glad we pressed on? Brothers and sisters, there's a river called death that we're going to cross over one day. Just press on. When the time comes, that water will open up. We'll cross on dry ground. We'll see Jesus. I'll guarantee if we could interview anybody in heaven right now, there's not a one of them that would say that it wasn't worth it. If we could go to heaven right now and put a microphone in the face of the Apostle Peter, James, John, I can go on and on. Your mama, some of your daddies, some of your grandpa, some of your grandma, some of my grandpa, some of my grandma, every one of them would tell us it was worth every pain we suffered. Don't you want to come and be with us? But you have to press on. The Apostle Paul, the very man that wrote this, was in a jail cell beaten and whipped with a man by the name of Silas. And here they are in the midnight hour. And I can see old Silas lean over there and say, Paul, what are we going to do now? Paul said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to press on. There's an old song that talks about ringing the bells of heaven, and it says this. It says, press along rejoicing through this unfriendly land. Glory land is waiting o'er the way. Brothers and sisters, there's something worth pressing on for. But there's no greater example of pressing on than what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane, how he took his inner circle of disciples and he told them, you sit here a while, you pray and you wait and you watch. And he went a stone's cast farther. Listen, he was willing to go a little farther. He was willing to press on a little further. Got down on his face and prayed until the tears and the sweat became as great drops of blood. The Bible said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. But he pressed on. Listen, come on, pay attention to me now. The Bible said they brought him in the courtyard of Pilate. They beat him and they whipped him until the blood began to gush out of his body. But what did he do? He pressed on through the suffering. They planted a crown of thorns upon his head until the thorns pierced through his skin and into his skull. What did he do? He pressed on, made to carry his cross. He pressed on up Golgotha's hill. Listen, nailed to that cross, his own spikes went into his hands and went into his feet. He pressed on as he sat there, as he hung there between the heavens and the earth, cried out, "Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He pressed on. He pressed on until he said, into your hands I commend my spirit, and he died. But listen, you don't know this, you couldn't see this, but when he died and that Roman soldier pierced his side, he pressed on in a place that our eyes have not seen. The Bible said he descended into the earth and took those that were held captive. Aren't you glad? He kept pressing on, and on the third day, he pressed through death. He pressed through corruption. He came out the other side alive and well. He is risen. But he pressed on. Do you ever get to that place to where you're tired and your physical body a little bit shot? Some of you have been through this in sickness. Sometimes you get to that place emotionally where you're drained and you give it all you've got, and it don't seem like there's much left. And you don't know what to do. Have you ever been to that place to where you've been so broken you just don't know what to do? I've heard a lot of people say this. Somebody they love goes on to be with the Lord, or something happens. They say, "I just don't know how to move on." How do you move on when everything you love and hold dear has been jerked out from under you? How do you move on through pain and sorrow and loss? And the only answer to that is you put one foot in front of the other. And by the grace of God, you take a step. And then you muster up the courage and the strength, and you take another step and another step. And before long, whether you realize it or not, you are pressing on. Does that mean that the hurt leaves? No, not always. Does that mean that the sorrow comes to an end? No, not always. But I tell you what it means: by pressing on and by putting one foot in front of the other. See, life is going to continue anyway. Life's going to go on anyway. Time is going to continue anyway until the Lord said there is time no more. And we don't have a choice. We have to keep living. For the sake of those that we love, for the sake of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must press on. Now, I'm going to tell you, listen, guys, they're going to do everything they can. And whenever I say they, I'm talking about the principalities and the powers of darkness in high places. They're going to do everything they can to discourage you from pressing on. They're going to do everything they can to get the church to shut up, to sit down, to lock their doors, to never come back. They're going to do everything they can to dissuade us and discourage us. But I'm going to tell you, just keep pressing on, because when the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and we who remain are changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, as we leave this old world behind and we meet over there in the air, aren't you glad we'll be able to say it was worth it all? So this morning, I, as pitifully maybe as I've tried to preach it, I just want to encourage you to press on. Press on in the Lord. Stand to your feet this morning. If you've got a song, come ahead. Now, don't you take this as Russell's discouraged. A lot of times we look at it that way. Let me, as you get there, hang on just 1 sec, Steve. One of the reasons that so many people have trouble pressing on is because they've not dealt with their past. They're hung up in the mistakes they've made in their past. Paul said, this one thing I've learned to do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Do you realize you can't press on when you're toting all your mistakes? You can't press on when you're carrying all the grief and the sins of your past. The whole reason Jesus came and died and shed his blood was to forgive you, that you might press on and go forward. And you can't go forward if you're always looking back. There has to be that time in your life when you give it to Christ and you turn it loose and you say, you know what? Although all hell assails me, I will press on forward. And this morning, you can come and make that proclamation to God. Is there anybody in the house this morning that just needs to pray and say, God, I'm tired of living in my past and I'm tired of the heaviness of my past. I'm tired. I just want to press forward. I want to press on. If you need to pray this morning, I want you to know this altar is open and there is a loving God that awaits you with open arms. He will give you the strength to press on. What you got, Steve? So often in our lives we face these times of trials and tribulations. We go through things and they break us. And there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are suffering from a broken heart, from things that have happened years ago. Sometimes people say things and they so offend us, and we have these things called emotions. Anybody got those? We get hurt and we get offended and we carry that hurt and we carry all that stuff around with us until finally an incident happens and we call it the straw that breaks a camel's back. You ever had that happen? You're carrying all this stuff and it don't take but one little old thing on top of it, and that's the straw that done it. And you break, and it's not because of that one incident. It's because all of those that led up to it. And the problem in the body of Christ is we don't pour our heart out to God anymore. We harbor that stuff. We carry it on our own until we get to the place to where we can't carry it anymore. And a loving God, every time we pray, is saying, bring it to me. I'll take it. You don't have to walk out the doors the way you came in. You don't have to have that stuff dwelling in your heart. You can find peace this morning, but you got to be willing to be honest with God. And it meant you need it this morning. One more verse. If you need to pray, you come pray. God is a God of the brokenhearted this morning.